Turn your Bibles tonight to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to look at one verse. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's very interesting, this verse, it didn't say mothers, it said fathers. Fathers, bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We realize that, a father is really the overseer of all the training of the children and the things of the Lord, and he can't be there all day. And the wife is very much involved and does a lot of the work about raising children. But the Bible tells us that the spiritual leadership of the home is relegated to the fathers. And the home, the Christian home, needs men to be the spiritual leaders of the family. And as you think about that, I'd like us to see the roles of the father in the home, as delineated here in Ephesians 5 and 6. First of all, we're going to say that the role of the father is to be passionate about making disciples of Christ out of his children. A father needs to be passionate about making disciples of Christ out of his children. Now, we're talking about passion here tonight. We're not talking about namby-pamby. We're not talking about, a little bit of thought. We're not talking about, little stuff. We're talking about passion. It ought to stir from the very depth of his soul that his desire is to raise his children to be disciples of Jesus Christ. It's not like, well, we got to have family devotions, I suppose, once in a while. It's not like, I suppose we should go to church. No, there's no passion in that at all, is there? There's no passion in that. That's not what it's talking about. We can take this as an academic truth. We can take this as just an academic phrase or an academic command. But that's missing the point. That's missing the point. Fathers, bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's what it's talking about, passion. Of raising his children to be disciples. What is a disciple? You ever think about what is a disciple? Turn with you to Luke chapter 14. We have two pretty big verses here in Luke chapter 14 about what it means to be a disciple. And we know that the word disciple is the word learner, which means a person, if you learn the Bible, it changes your life. It makes you a follower. That's what it's talking about. A disciple is one who learns the Bible. And you can't really learn the Bible, without it changing your life. Now, if you got a lot of Bible knowledge and it doesn't change your life, you don't know the Bible. You know some facts about the Bible, but you don't know the Bible. You don't know the reality of God's word changes lives. And so, notice what it says, verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now look at verse number 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Now that's pretty down to earth, isn't it? What is it saying? It's saying that to be a disciple, 100%. Nothing in the way of obeying Jesus Christ. Nothing in the way. And so he says, so likewise, whosoever it be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. It's a simple truth. You know, it's a simple truth. That's the difference. You're here tonight, and you say, God's not going to touch that. Guess what? You're not a disciple of Jesus Christ. You're not a disciple. He's not the Lord. You become the Lord. You told the Lord what will come first in your life, not him. And you know, God tests every one of those things, doesn't he? Right? He's going to test it. Disciple of Jesus Christ. Rather than belabor the point, I think we need to get that point, men. A man needs to be passionate about that his children becomes disciples of Jesus Christ. That's what a Christian home is all about. Anything less than that is less than what God wants. And it isn't going to be a real Christian home. Now, let's take it a couple ways here. Okay, young man, guess what? Someday, very likely, you'll be a dad. And guess what? If Jesus Christ doesn't get a hold of your life, you won't be able to be the spiritual leader that you need to be. Passion about Jesus Christ and following him. You know, I haven't seen a magic switch anywhere. I haven't seen a magic switch that somehow a person, you know, whether they're whatever, all of a sudden they change from being dead, half-hearted, lukewarm, to being passionate. Just because they're supposed to be. It doesn't, you know what I mean? It doesn't come by saying I do at a marriage altar. It doesn't come by graduating from a school. You know what? It's Jesus Christ getting a hold of your life. And so consumes your life that there's nothing else that almost matters in your life than Jesus Christ. And there nothing else matters more as a father that your children would follow Jesus Christ 100%. You know, I think that's why in the Bible it says deacons and pastors, that part of the qualification is their children. Because, you know, if a man of God doesn't have a passion for having his children to follow Jesus Christ 100%, he's not worthy to be a pastor. And if a pastor doesn't know how, and only by the grace of God, put it that way, but if he doesn't understand the principles of discipleship, which is proven in his family, he shouldn't be a pastor either, because he doesn't know him. He doesn't know him. We see this, first of all, the spiritual leadership of the Father is that he is passionate about making disciples of Jesus Christ out of his children. Number two, he is passionate about following Jesus Christ completely. Okay? Where do you get that, Pastor, out of this? Well, it's right there in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Well, here it is. What's the number one reason kids that are in a Christian home don't catch it? They don't catch it. They don't catch the fire. They don't catch the passion. They don't hear the same message that other people hear. You know, some kids hear it, and it changes their life. Other people hear the same message, and they don't love the Lord. They're rebellious, worldly. They don't care. Dad, you know why? I've learned it's not the message. Now, I'm not going to say I have a perfect message. I'm not saying that. You have two people. One hears the message, and boom, man, I was like, wow, what God's doing. And someone else hears the message, doesn't touch him. Dr. David Cummins told this story. He's going to be preaching at a camp, a youth camp. And a pastor friend said to him, "Brother Cummins, you're preaching at such and such camp. My kids are going to be there. And you know, my kids are going through some troubles in their life. And I really would like you to pray for them and kind of take note of them. And I hope that God do something in their life at this camp. But you know, right now they're just kind of rebellious, and their hearts are hard, and I'm really concerned for them." Brother Cummins said, "Sure, I'll take note of them and try to help them." So Dr. Cummins noticed these two teenager boys of the pastor and noticed they were having trouble, had a bad attitude, and were kind of troublemakers and didn't listen and kind of mocking, you know, things of God. And so he was frustrated that he thought that he was preaching some really helpful messages and they weren't responding. And so he took the boys aside, I don't know where, private place. And he said, "Boys, you know, I'm really concerned for you. What's wrong? Why aren't you getting it? I mean, a lot of kids were making decisions for the Lord, and they just were hard, you know, hard." And they said, "Well, Dr. Cummins, it's like this. Their dad was the pastor. One day, we're in my dad's office. And the safe was open. And he thought, well, it's not normally open. Let's open it up. Let's see what's in there. Open the safe. Playboy magazines. In their mind, this Christian stuff, forget it. You know, we all have our weaknesses, but the fact is, when there is inconsistency in the home, it takes a terrible toll on the children. And when a parent says, now, hey boys, I want you to make decision for the Lord. I want you to do what's right. And I want you to listen to the preacher. And, you know, I want you to do the right thing. But maybe that child hears mom or dad mock the preacher. Or maybe, you know, they say, well, that's just fuddy-duddy. Or maybe actually, they not only do that, but they do exactly the opposite in their home what they're taught at church. But you know, they want their kids to do right. But when there isn't a proper example in the home, they don't get it. They don't hear the same message that other kids hear. They don't get it. You know what they said? They said, I read the statistic one time, that if both parents are saved and trying to raise their kids for the Lord, if they're both saved and living a consistent life in their home, I'm not talking about in church, I'm talking inside the house. This is just statistics. It has nothing to do with how much good preaching there is. They have a 90 to 95% chance turning out for God. But if in the home both parents claim to be Christian and one of them is an inconsistent Christian, and they aren't living the life, the example, that child now has only a 50% chance of turning out. And there's other statistics. And so we see that it's important for our father to be passionate about completely following Jesus Christ. Passionate. We talked about Joshua last week, how, and we preached about in chapel, Deuteronomy 1:26, how Joshua wholly followed the Lord. You know, isn't that amazing? We'll say, you know, son, I want you to obey the Bible. I want you to obey the Bible. But there's parts of the Bible that we say, that's not for me. You know, it doesn't work. You say to your child, I want you to obey all the Bible because there's things that you need to obey because you're, you know, you need to do it. But we pick and choose what we want to obey or not. We pick and choose whether we want to be a soul winner. We pick and choose whether we want to go soul winning. We pick and choose whether, you know, we're going to have family devotions. We pick and choose whether we're going to be a man of prayer and be at prayer night, you know. I mean, you could just take all these things. We pick and choose, but we don't want our kids to pick and choose because, you know, when you pick and choose, you choose not to do the things that you really need to do. You know what I'm saying? a passion to wholly follow the Lord. That's what a disciple is. The passion to be an example. All right. Then let's look at another great part of this role of a father. Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, we know, if you understand Ephesians 5 and 6, it talks about wives, obey your husbands. It says, husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, raise up your children, nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. And masters, do the same things unto them. And it's talking about the key principle being filled with the Spirit. You are submitting yourselves one to another, submitting yourselves to God's role for your life. You know, God has a plan. And you know what? It's God's plan for the father to have a passion for their children to live for God. It's a passion to teach the Bible, a passion to have family devotion, a passion for God. You know, to have godly standards, to obey the Bible. But you know what? It requires as well a passion to be filled with the Holy Spirit. A passion to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, nobody can do it in their own power. Who can? Raise your hand if you can do it in your power. You know, you think about it. This is what a family needs, but it is not really, you know, it doesn't fit with the sin nature. You know what I'm saying? It really doesn't fit with the sin nature for the man to be the spiritual leader of the home that he ought to be. You know, have passion for the things of God and your children and learning the Bible. I mean, God's got to do that. You know what? God does do that. When we have the power of the Holy Spirit. And there has to be a passion to have the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, that's why one reason every believer ought to be seeking to witness every day. Because it's a power checkup. For me, it is, anyhow. It's a power checkup. Even if it's near the end of the day, and I've been busy all day, and I haven't been able to talk to anybody, and I say, well, Lord, I haven't talked to anybody today. Well, where do I, Lord, where do you want me to go? You know, at 10 o'clock at night, there's not too many choices, you know, maybe Walgreens, you know, some of the gas station friends that I'm witnessing to, whatever. But immediately, you come down to reality. Oh, Lord, this is just so beyond me, Lord. I need your power. Lord, this, I can't do this, Lord. You got to work in my heart. Lord, I need your power. Wow. That's what we need. The power of God in our life. We need to be passionate about needing God's power. Curtis was sharing the blessing of these people coming and his what God is doing. Can I share it with Curtis? He said, oh, God's been working in my heart that there's got to be some I got to have some fruit where I work. God, I got to have some fruit where I'm working. And I said, I will pour water on him that is thirsty. Thirsty. Are you thirsty for the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? That's the key. Thirsty for his power. And you know, men, young men, you have to learn, you have to commit yourself to be what God wants you to be. This is God's plan. But in order to fulfill it, you have to have passion for the power of God's Holy Spirit. And he can fill you, and he can make you what you and I aren't. You say, well, I don't know. Yeah, God can fill you and make you and I what we aren't. He can fill it not with mere duty. He can fill us with passion for doing what's right. Amen? Amen. I don't hear too many amens out there. None. Fourthly, it says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Passionate men need to be passionate about getting rid of power robbers. Now, it's a simple illustration here. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? It means to be controlled 100% by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Okay, so what is it saying? It says if you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you can't be filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit if something is controlling you other than the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's what it means. 100% controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, I was talking to this boy at university, claims to be a Christian. And he said, well, at Crew, we have... I says, what do you do at Crew? He says, oh, we have guest speakers. And I say, you ever talk about, you know, big subjects or controversial subjects? He says, oh, we had a bunch of pastors come in or guest speakers and talk about drinking, alcohol. And I said, so what do you decide? He said, well, we decided that the Bible says it's okay to drink, but just don't get drunk. I said, really? That's what it says? I says, well, the Bible says, look not thou upon the wine when it turneth itself, when it turneth itself and it's, you know, turns to red. He says, don't even look at it. Sounds to me like alcoholic beverage. Not even supposed to look at it. I says, what about the Bible says, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I said, what about that verse? I said, what about Leviticus 10 and verse 9 and 10 where it says that you're not... the priest does not eat to drink neither wine nor strong drink when they come into the tabernacle, lest they die. I says, what about that? And he said, well, that's just your opinion. And I started thinking that this bothered me, you know, this conversation. And I was thinking, it's okay to drink just so you aren't drunk. I thought to myself, well, what does half drunk look like? You know, what does half drunk look like? What does 25% drunk look like? You know what I mean? What does 10% drunk look like? You know, where 10% of your cognitive thinking has been affected. You know? I says, what about that? Well, that's exactly what the Bible's teaching. That any other than a few drops of alcohol, and of course, like cough syrup, that base is alcohol. And the reason is that that is able to go right through your stomach walls into your bloodstream without having to be digested. And those few drops of alcohol in that cough syrup, immediately the liver says, poison, get it out of your bloodstream. And anything other than a few drops gets in your bloodstream and immediately goes to the brain. Immediately goes to the brain and kills brain cells, deadens brain cells. Someone was telling me, they talked to their friends, and their friends say, I drive better when I've drunk a few. Exactly. Wine is a mocker, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. There's the deceiver, right? They think they're driving better, but we know they're driving worse. Amen? But anyway, what is it saying? It says anything that takes away the power of the Spirit of God in our life is an enemy. Anything that is so important in our life that distracts us from wanting God's power in our life, that's an enemy. It's an enemy. You know, it doesn't have to be some sinful thing to be an enemy, does it? But it is so consuming in our life that it's really running our life rather than God. I remember talking to Brother Griffin once. And I said to him, and I won't say it just so I don't make anybody mad. I said, hey, how come you aren't doing such and such? You used to be really good at that. He says, you know, when you want to live for God, you simplify your life. And you take the things out of your life that are distractions for living for God. Well, that's what this verse is saying. Passionate. Passionate about getting rid of the power grabbers. You know, we ought to have war on the power grabbers. I think I need to say this just because it needs to be said. But you know, I think the devil's laughing at Christians and a lot of things that they do. You know, in our society, a lot of Christians, it's almost like ancient Rome. The mass of people, they were all excited about the Colosseum Games. And that's what they did. They went to the Colosseum Games. They didn't care what was happening to their nation. They didn't care how Rome was decaying from within. The masses of people, all they cared about was being entertained. And think of it. We had Super Bowl Sunday not too long ago. There was churches who claimed to be Bible-believing churches, and they changed their schedule so they could watch the Super Bowl. But I heard about what took place at the halftime. Lady Gaga singing the national anthem. Lady Gaga singing the national anthem. It's not a mistake. NFL makes these choices. And then in the halftime show, Beyonce. Is that what? I don't know how to pronounce that name even. Beyonce or whatever. She and her dancing girls. Don't even look it up. It's disgraceful. Put on a show honoring the Black Panthers. And I thought, where is our country going? Where is our country going? And we think this is great entertainment? In my soul, I said, this just took a big notch down in my soul. And when you talk about the NFL, I lost my respect. But yet, that captures so many people's hearts. When what should be capturing their heart is Jesus Christ. Amen? Yes. Passionate about getting rid of the things that rob us of our power. I got one last point. Wives, submit yourself, verse 22, unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. What does this have to do with about a man? You know what this has to do about a man? A man's going to be a spiritual leader of his home. He's going to have a passion to raise his kids for God and a passion to follow Jesus Christ. You know what? It's just obvious that he's going to have a passion about having 100% wife. A wife that is 100% passionate, likewise, for reaching the world for Jesus Christ. That's what I get out of this passage of Scripture. A wife who is likewise 100% passionate for Jesus Christ. And for passionate for raising those children to make a difference for Jesus Christ and reach the world with the gospel. That's right there. Now, this is preaching to you young men and you young fellas. It just doesn't go. You're going to be a spiritual leader of your family, and you're going to marry someone that's not 100% passionate for Jesus Christ? That doesn't mean, that means you aren't 100% passionate for Jesus Christ. You're kidding yourself. Marriage is a wonderful team for God. Wonderful team for God. Two are better than one in that team. It's a wonderful team. And just think about it. A man is going to be a spiritual leader, and he's passionate about it. Guess what? I think it's just... tell me if you think it's true or not. That he's going to be passionate about raising and marrying a woman that's 100% passionate for Jesus Christ. How many agree with that? How many don't agree with that? Daniel raised his hand by accident. There's the truth. Amen? Amen? That's what it's all about. Five simple truths about a man being the spiritual leader of his home. Passionate about making disciples of Jesus Christ of his children. Passionate about following Jesus Christ completely and being a good example. Passionate about having the power of the Holy Spirit. Passionate about getting rid of power robbers in his life. Passionate about having a wife is 100% passionate of raising a family for Jesus Christ and serving him. Simple truths. I think it's there. It's right there. And that's what we need. That's what America needs. That's what every young man needs. That's what every Christian family needs. And you know what? We had a message this morning about free will, didn't we? Is that true? How many heard that message this morning? Oh, some of the younger ones in here. You know what that means? Everything I spoke about tonight, you can decide that for yourself. Isn't that great? You can decide that that is the way it's going to be for you. And it's only one decision away. And you know, a free will is a free will, right? That means as much as we say you can make that decision for Jesus Christ, and that's the kind of person you can be, that's the kind of home you can be, as well, you can make the decision and say, I don't want to hear it. Got a free will. All free will. All decisions have consequences, don't they? We heard about a young man made a decision, had serious consequences. He had an opportunity to make the right choice. Nope. And I think it's right that we get back to old-time Christianity and say, you know, we have a choice. And if we are less than what God wants us to be, it's because we chose to be there. But we have the opportunity, and young person, you have the opportunity to make a choice. And I like that. I like that because you can choose what your future is going to be like. Isn't that great? That is to me, that's amazing, isn't it? That is an amazing thing. You can choose what your future is going to be like. That is just an amazing thing. Now, our pride can get us in the way. But that pride will make us make a wrong choice. And so, you know, is God speaking to your heart tonight? Don't kid yourself as though if you don't make a decision tonight that, you know, you're not making a decision. You are making a decision. Right? You are making a decision. No decision is a decision, isn't it? Right? But thank God, when we come to grips with what's right, by the grace of God, we can decide to make that decision. And that decision will change our life. It will change our life. It will make not only difference in our home, but it will make the difference in thousands and thousands others. God speaking to your heart, trying to make a decision about what God wants. Fathers, bring up your children in nurture and admonition of the Lord. What a wonderful, important truth that is. Dads with a passion to raise their children for God. Let's bow our heads. And you say to Lord, we thank you tonight that the truth of the Bible is so clear. It's just so obvious. It is in some cases so cut and dried that we don't, and yet, Lord, we know that oftentimes it just is words. But I pray tonight that somehow that, Lord, we've been able to you've been able to work in our hearts. And you've been able to stir our hearts. And we've been able to see that maybe we've been lukewarm rather than passionate about the things that are important to God and the things that are important to our family. And Lord, we thank you that you can work, and I pray that, Lord, where necessary, there would be a renewed commitment. I pray where necessary, there will be that turning to you for your power and your presence and your blessing to change things around. I pray that, Lord, where necessary, that the people of God would be encouraged to go even further than they're going. And, Lord, that the Word of God in these truths is stirring their hearts to make important choices about their future and their family. And that young people, oh, Lord, help young people to get a hold of this truth and decide to be that kind of person. Lord, young boys, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, young men, 16, 17, 18, 19, whatever, they can decide right now what kind of home they're going to have. They can decide what kind of man they're going to be. They can decide what kind of home they're going to have. And we thank you for that great privilege to make these big decisions. And the Lord, we know this is a privilege. We also know the devil likes to put people to sleep and numb them and give them all sorts of excuses, do nothing. I pray that he would be defeated. And so, Lord, grab a hold of our hearts. Renew my heart tonight to be a man of God and love you more and serve you more, do right more, to be a better example, to train, take the time to train and teach my children with a heart and to love you. Lord, work in our midst. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you say, Pastor, God is stirring my heart tonight. There is, what a joy it is, I can make a decision to be the man that I need to be. What a joy is it, you can make a decision about the man that you're going to be. And all the other things that are going to come with it, you can make those kind of decisions. And God is stirring your heart about being that spiritual leader for your home that you ought to be. And letting God work in your heart and filling you with passion and energy for God. And say, Pastor, pray for me. There's a decision I need to make. God's speaking my heart about it. Just lift up your hand wherever you might be, okay? Praise God. Number of different hands. Some went way up even before I got there. God was working. Amen. How about you? Okay? How about you? Are you making a decision to the opposite side? No, I'm not going to bother. No, don't tread on my ground. No, God is trying to work on your heart. You're going to be decisive about it. Praise God. Amen. Anyone else? This could be the beginning of a great blessing. I see some young people. Amen. Amen. You're here tonight and you say, you know what? I'm not at the starting point yet. I need to get saved. That's the starting point. And that's what makes you a new man. So you can make these kind of big decisions. And you say, Pastor, I'm not saved yet. I need to be. God's working in my heart. Would you pray for me? Anyone here, God's working in your heart. I need to be saved. Lord, thank you for your word tonight. And now, Lord, I thank you for those that, Lord, made decisions for you. What a victory, Lord. What a wonderful thing. I pray that you'd bless these who've grappled with life, considered the choices, and are seeking you to help them make these big choices. Thank you, Lord, for ladies who said, I want to be that 100% wife. Thank you for men who said, I want to be that 100% man. Oh, God, bless them. And I pray that, God, that in your mercy, for those who are struggling that need to make this decision and didn't, I pray that, Lord, in your mercy, that they'll not be able to walk out of this place and just forget this message. I pray that, Lord, that somehow in your grace that you would just keep pricking their heart and their soul about what you want in their life. Help them to, Lord, to be so pricked that they surrender and finally come to the point where they say, yes, Lord. And so, Lord, pray you bless the invitation, the decisions made in quiet, decisions made in public, in Jesus' name. Amen.